Hello, I'm Joseph Kassa, and welcome to this podcast where the AI team does a deep dive into some application of systems thinking.
Welcome to our deep dive into analysis of alternatives. Now, I can tell from the documents that you sent over that you're really looking to get a good grasp on AOA and how it can help, you know, make those big decisions, especially when it comes to those like major investments. So we're going to be using that 2009 paper by Dr. David G. Ullman as our kind of our main guide here. But we're also going to be, you know, bringing in some insights from the other sources that you've shared with us as well.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating area, you know, especially when you think about it. It's just human nature to kind of get attached to one idea and then try to justify it, right? And AOA really forces us to kind of think differently, step back, and really evaluate a whole range of possibilities, which is so important when you're dealing with the uncertainty and complexity that comes with these, you know, big decisions.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that really struck me from that reading list that you sent was this idea that uncertainty is kind of baked into the process. It's not something to be avoided, but it's something that AOA actually helps you navigate. It's almost like having a roadmap for uncharted territory.
Exactly. Exactly. And like any good roadmap, AOA provides, you know, that structure, that framework for making those critical decisions. And Dr. Ullman, you know, he lays this out as four levels of AOA maturity, which I think is a really helpful way to kind of visualize how organizations are approaching this process.
And I bet you're going to tell me that most of us are stuck down there at level zero, just trying to justify that one pet project that we've all fallen in love with.
Well, it's more common than you might think. You know, the level zero is really all about advocating for a single solution without really evaluating the alternatives. It's that kind of go with your gut approach, which, you know, can work in some cases. But for major decisions, you know, that have these long-term implications, it's not exactly the most robust strategy.
Especially in your field, right? I mean, from the technical reports that you shared, it's clear you're dealing with systems that have these incredibly long lifespans. So you know a gut feeling isn't really going to cut it. When you're talking about decisions that'll have repercussions for, you know, decades to come.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, agencies like the Office of Management and Budget, they're really pushing organizations to move beyond that level zero thinking and towards at least level one, which involves comparing multiple options. And their main tool for doing this is net present value, or NPV.
Okay, so NPV. So that's where we're trying to put like a dollar value on everything.
Yeah.
I remember from that economics paper that you sent, though, NPV is not exactly without its flaws, is it?
No, it's definitely a powerful tool, but it's not a silver bullet by any means.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest issues is that it relies on these accurate cost and benefit estimates, which can be really hard to get, especially when you're dealing with, you know, long-term projects or emerging technologies where there's just so much uncertainty.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's almost like trying to predict the weather a year from now. You can make some educated guesses, but there's always a chance of, you know, some unexpected storms. And I imagine those long-term projects you're working on probably have quite a few potential storms lurking on the horizon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, another issue is that NPV tends to kind of undervalue those benefits that are further out in the future. So it becomes a little less reliable for those types of decisions. Plus, it really oversimplifies how risk plays out over time. It often doesn't capture the true complexity of a project's lifecycle.
So it sounds like NTV is kind of like a first pass filter, a way to start comparing options at a very basic level. But for those really complex decisions, you need something a little more sophisticated, right?
Right. And that brings us to level two, which is where organizations like the Department of Defense are really setting their sights. They go beyond just looking at the cost and try to assess how well each option actually meets the specific goals or requirements of the project. We call these measures of effectiveness, or MOEs.
Oh, yeah, MOEs. You know, from the white papers that you shared, it seems like you're already using these in some of your work. Is that right?
Yes, MOEs are a key part of our evaluation process. They allow us to capture those aspects of a solution that are really difficult to quantify, you know, just purely financial terms. Sometimes these measures are pretty straightforward, like, you know, number of targets hit for a new weapon system. But other times they require, you know, more expert judgment, like, does this solution provide day-night capability, which isn't something you can easily put a price tag on.
Yeah, I'm starting to see how AOA is really about building this kind of multidimensional picture of each option, considering not just the cost, but also how well it performs against a set of, you know, customized criteria. It's almost like comparing apples to oranges. You need different tools to measure their sweetness, their juiciness, their overall appeal.
That's a great analogy. Just like judging fruit, you know, judging complex systems requires looking beyond just a single metric.
So even the DoD with their level two approach, they're still not quite at the top of that AOA maturity ladder, are they? What does it take to reach that pinnacle, that level three, where decisions are truly informed and uncertainty is actually embraced?
Yeah, level three is where AOA really shines. It's about moving beyond just identifying and ranking those options and moving towards a more nuanced understanding of the interplay between choices, uncertainties, and outcomes.
Okay, you got me hooked. Tell me more about this level three nirvana. What are the secrets to achieving this level of AOA mastery?
It's about weaving that uncertainty right into how you make decisions. Recognizing that, yeah, we can't predict the future perfectly, but we can at least try to create systems that can kind of roll with the punches, you know, adapt as things change.
You know, that makes me think of something you highlighted in one of those articles you sent about the need for flexibility and adaptability in these complex systems. It's not just about picking what seems like the best option today, but about making sure you can adjust course as things you know as the situation changes.
Exactly. Level three AOA is all about that iterative way of making decisions. It's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing process, always refining your understanding as new information comes in and adjusting your approach.
So it's less about finding that one perfect answer and more about creating a system that can evolve over time.
Exactly. It really requires a shift in how we think about this. AOA isn't just a purely analytical thing. It's got to be more holistic, considering the people involved, the organizational context, the bigger picture.
That makes me think of that case study you shared about that infrastructure project that went way over budget and schedule. Because they didn't see those potential supply chain disruptions coming, it really highlights how crucial it is to consider those external factors, the things you can't always control, but you can at least plan for.
Yeah, that's a great example. And it kind of gets at the importance of what we call architected decision making, where every choice is made within a framework, taking into account not just the immediate problem, but the whole system that that problem is a part of. Understanding how each decision fits into the overall strategy, the long-term goals, the values of the organization.
Okay, so we've got these different levels of AOA maturity, with level three as kind of that gold standard. But how do we actually put this into practice? What are some of the tools and techniques that can help us move towards that more mature, more holistic approach?
One powerful tool is scenario planning, which you mentioned finding helpful in your own work. It's all about creating a set of plausible future scenarios, each with its own challenges and opportunities, and then exploring how different options might play out in each scenario.
Yeah, it's like creating a choose-your-own-adventure for your decision. You get to explore those different paths, see where they might lead, helps you anticipate those potential roadblocks, and come up with strategies to deal with that uncertainty.
Right. It forces you to think outside the box, challenge your assumptions, and develop those contingency plans for dealing with the unexpected.
And I imagine that's especially important in your field, where the stakes are so high, the systems are complex, and a wrong decision can have some pretty significant consequences.
Absolutely. Another technique that's becoming really valuable is agent-based modeling, which lets you simulate the behavior of individual actors within a system, whether it's people, organizations, or even tech components, and see how their interactions lead to different outcomes.
So instead of just looking at the system as a whole, you're zooming in on those individual pieces, seeing how they influence each other, how their decisions create those ripple effects that ultimately shape the outcome.
Exactly. And by tweaking the parameters of the model, the rules that govern those interactions, you can explore how different policies, interventions, or external forces might influence the system's behavior.
That sounds incredibly powerful. Especially when you're dealing with systems that are constantly changing. It's like having a virtual laboratory.
Yeah.
Where you can experiment and see how the system responds.
It is. It's a way to test your assumptions, see what those unintended consequences might be, and develop those more robust strategies for navigating complexity.
Okay. We're starting to build a pretty impressive toolkit here. We've got scenario planning, agent-based modeling. Anything else we should add to our AOA arsenal?
One more I'd highlight is multi-criteria decision analysis, or MCDA. This is especially helpful when you have multiple objectives to juggle, which is often the case with these complex decisions. It helps you evaluate options based on a set of criteria, reflecting those different objectives, whether they're financial, social, environmental, or even ethical.
So instead of just trying to maximize one thing, like profit or efficiency, you're creating a balanced scorecard, recognizing that sometimes you have to make trade-offs.
Exactly. It's about finding that best overall solution, the one that strikes the best balance across all those criteria.
That reminds me of something you said earlier, about the importance of looking at the whole system. It's like taking a systems thinking approach, recognizing that everything is interconnected.
That's a great point. And that systems thinking perspective is essential for Level 3 AOA. It's about seeing how those decisions ripple through the system, how they impact different stakeholders, how they influence the long-term trajectory.
We've been talking a lot about the benefits of AOA, but are there any downsides, challenges we should be aware of? I mean, it all sounds almost too good to be true. Is there a catch?
Well, like any tool, you know it's not perfect. AOA definitely has its challenges. I think one pitfall is what we call analysis paralysis, where you get so caught up in all the data and models and scenarios that you never actually make a decision.
Oh, yeah. I've been there, totally lost in a sea of spreadsheets and simulations, second-guessing every little thing. It's like when you're trying to pick a restaurant, and you spend so much time reading reviews and menus that you end up just ordering pizza because you're too exhausted to decide.
Exactly. And it's important to remember, AOA is there to help us make those tough calls, not to put them off forever.
Yeah.
Setting those clear objectives and timelines up front, that can really help.
So it's all about finding that balance, right, between being thorough and actually getting things done.
Right. Another challenge is that we can sometimes get too fixated on the numbers and overlook those qualitative factors. Like we talked about before, you can't always put a price tag on everything. Sometimes those things, like user experience, stakeholder buy-in, ethical considerations, those are all super important. But they don't always fit neatly into a spreadsheet.
That makes me think about that article you shared, the one about the role of intuition and experience. You know, sometimes you just got to trust your gut, especially when you're dealing with something that's not in the data.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not about replacing human judgment with algorithms. It's about giving decision makers the best possible info so they can make smart, well-rounded choices. And sometimes that means going beyond the data, considering those human factors,
the ethic,
the bigger picture.
So we've covered a lot of ground here, the benefits, the tools, the potential downsides. But as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on what's next for AOA. What are some of those emerging trends? How do you see this field evolving?
Well, one really exciting trend is AI and machine learning. These technologies could really change the game. Automating those data analysis tasks, the scenario modeling, the risk assessment, freeing up human analysts to focus on that bigger picture thinking.
So instead of us crunching numbers, we'll have AI doing the heavy lifting.
Exactly. AI can sift through these massive data sets, find patterns and insights that we might miss, speeding up the process, helping us explore more possibilities.
That sounds incredibly powerful. But I imagine there are some ethical concerns with bringing AI into something as critical as decision making. I mean, we're talking about choices that can have real world consequences.
Absolutely. We got to make sure those AI algorithms are transparent, unbiased, aligned with our values. And yet we also need to think about the potential impact on jobs as AI takes over some of those tasks. But I do think it has the potential to revolutionize decision making, making AOA more accessible, more efficient, and ultimately more insightful.
Another trend I've been seeing is this move towards more collaborative AOA. It's not just a few experts in a room anymore. It's becoming more inclusive, bringing in more diverse perspectives.
Yeah, I totally agree. Getting stakeholders involved early on, that's crucial. It's the best way to make sure the final decision actually meets everyone's needs. This might involve things like surveys, focus groups, online platforms for brainstorming and feedback.
And I imagine those digital tools will just keep getting better and better. It's amazing to think that technology can bring people together like that to solve complex problems.
It really is. It speaks to the heart of AOA. It's not just a static set of techniques. It's a framework that adapts and grows with the times.
This has been a truly fascinating deep dive. We've covered so much ground, from the basics of AOA to the tools and techniques, the potential pitfalls, and a glimpse into the future.
I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Me too. And I hope you have as well, listener. We've only scratched the surface today, but I hope this has given you a better understanding of how AOA can help you navigate those complex situations, make more informed decisions, and ultimately achieve those better outcomes in your own work. Remember, AOA is more than just a set of rules. It's a mindset, a way of approaching challenges, with a blend of analysis and exploration. So next time you're faced with a tough decision, think about the principles of AOA. Explore your options. Consider those criteria. Weigh the pros and cons. Don't be afraid to embrace that uncertainty. Seek out those different perspectives. And who knows, you might even discover some hidden gems along the way, just like we did on this deep dive into analysis of alternatives.
I hope you enjoyed today's deep dive. Why not take a moment and join the discussion in the LinkedIn group tackling complex problems. Take care.